You know how in trying to fix one problem, you can inadvertently create another one? Like cane toads, they were introduced into Australia to control a beetle, but of course the toads went feral. And there are lots of medical examples of this sort of thing too, where treatments turn out to have side effects, so you have to weigh up the benefits with the costs. Where am I going with this? Well, a disease that was once a death sentence, HIV, is now preventable with drugs, and that is a major advance. But as people stop living in fear of HIV infection, are they becoming more cavalier in their sexual behaviour and as a result perhaps vulnerable to other sexually transmitted diseases? Simon Ruth is the Chief Executive of the Victorian AIDS Council. Simon, first of all, to get an understanding of the treatment we're talking about, there are two types for HIV. Yeah, one's called PrEP and one's called PEP. Can we start with PrEP? Mm-hmm. What is it?
So PrEP and PEP are both preventatives. They're not actually treatments for HIV,
right.
But they do use the same drugs that are used in treatment of HIV. So PEP is post-exposure prophylaxis and PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, and prophylaxis just means preventative.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of the equivalent of the morning after pill versus the contraceptive pill. PrEP is a pill you take every day that prevents you from contracting HIV. It's currently a two-drug pill. It's used in a number of countries around the world, and we're seeing great results with PrEP in reducing HIV rates. PEP is possibly one pill, possibly up to three pills that you take after you believe you've been exposed to HIV or possibly exposed to HIV, and you take that for 28 days, and it's used as a preventative. The quicker you get onto it, the more successful it is, and you need to be on it within 72 hours. So for PEP, it may be due to sexual exposure. It may also be due to a needle stick injury if you're a dentist or a surgeon or something like that, or it could be due to, you know, police might be stabbed or there's other ways that you might end up deciding that you want to take PEP, which is a 28-day preventative that would
prevent you from getting HIV. So it's sort of, as you say, though, it's sort of like a morning after pill, although more than one pill.
Yes, it's a response to when you believe you've had an infection or a possible infection, whereas PrEP is a preventative response where you're protecting yourself at all times.
Yeah, okay. So before we get on to any potential downsides, just let's look a little bit more at the benefits of these preventative drugs. I mean, globally, thousands of men are now on PrEP, as I understand it. Is it a kind of silver bullet in the battle against HIV?
It certainly is. So PrEP is it's changing the way, particularly in the first world, that we manage HIV. Both biomedical preventions over the last 10 years have dramatically changed HIV. So if you're HIV positive nowadays, you can get to an undetectable viral load level where you're no longer infectious. You can't actually give someone else the virus, which is an amazing result, and you'll live a long and happy life. And then PrEP is providing a preventative that in cities such as San Francisco, where they've had very high uptake, we've seen HIV rates drop by something like 70% over 3 years. So we're seeing amazing outcomes in the use of PrEP. And as I said, it's available in about 12 countries. It's not just men who are using it. In some countries where there's high prevalence amongst women, women are using it as well. Though in Western countries where we've managed to contain HIV largely to drug users and to gay men, we're seeing much higher uptake amongst gay men. And in Australia, we've currently got about 12,000 people on trials.
Yes, there are trials going on, but as I understand it, it's not currently on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme.
No, it's not on the PBS yet. It's gone up to the PBS twice. It was rejected the first time, largely based on price and modelling of how many people they believe would be on it. And then it's gone up again. There's two companies which have gone forward, Gilead and Mylan. And we believe that the health minister is very much all the state health ministers are very much in favour of this. And the federal health minister is also in favour of it. But I believe there's some haggling over price and modelling again. But we would hope that it's on the PBS by, if not the end of this year, by the start of next year.
So most people in Australia who are on it at the moment would be on a trial?
They're either on a trial, so there's about 12,000 on a trial, and then there's another 4,000 or 5,000 in new trials in Western Australia and Queensland and Tasmania and ACT that are about to come on. Or people are importing it themselves. So you can actually, it's a drug that you're allowed to bring into the country, and to buy it over the counter in Australia right now would cost you around $800 a month, but you can import it for around $40 a month.
Do you have any concerns with that? I mean, you know, that people are getting hold of the drug from overseas and self-medicating?
Well, they're doing it with their GP, so it does require a prescription. It is as managed as well as it would be within a trial. It requires a GP to prescribe every 3 months. It requires you to go back and get your tests every 3 months, your sexual health screening. And the chemists are all reputable chemists, and there's been a lot of work done by particularly activists in Victoria about which chemists you should be accessing and getting a better price. So there's actually a website, Prep Access Now, which is pan.org.au, where you can go and they will provide advice on how to get onto the trials or how to import it yourself.
This is Life Matters with Simon Ruth, who's the Chief Executive of the Victorian AIDS Council, talking about where HIV prevention is up to in Australia these days. Now, the other aspect of this is that PrEP, the pre-exposure preventative drug, and perhaps PEP, the kind of morning after pill, are being used instead of having condom-protected sex. So people are forgetting about safe sex practices because these drugs are available?
We would say, talking about PrEP, let's put PEP to the side, but talking about PrEP, we would say that PrEP is safe sex. So PrEP is actually it's safer than condoms. Condoms fail in a range of ways. You get drunk, you forget to put them on, they break. PrEP is a pill you're taking every day. So as long as you're taking it consistently, the level of protection is actually better than the level of protection from condoms. But you're right, PrEP only protects you from HIV. Condoms also have some protective factor against a range of other STIs, such as syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia, even though they're not perfect against those. But PrEP doesn't provide you with that protection. The upside to PrEP, though, is that you're probably testing for those diseases every 3 months. And in Australia, over the last 10 years, we've seen testing rates of maybe 1 to 2 times a year. But if you're on PrEP, you're testing 4 times a year. So there's also some research coming out of Britain that is showing that those diseases are actually going down amongst men who are on PrEP because they're testing so frequently for them. So they're picking them up before they're getting a chance to spread out into the community. So we're actually seeing decreases in those diseases as well for people who are on PrEP and testing regularly.
Are these drugs, in a way, changing gay culture? Beyond preventing the spread of HIV, are they sort of changing the gay dating scene?
Yeah, I think they're certainly changing the gay dating scene. They're particularly having a big impact on people's mental health. As a gay man, you live with the knowledge that you may have contracted HIV. If you haven't already contracted HIV, and 1 in 6 of us have, those people deal with the stigma and discrimination every day that they face as people living with HIV. But for other gay men, when you don't believe you have HIV, every time you have sex, there's that little voice in the back of your head, did I put myself at risk of HIV? And that does have an impact and causes anxiety amongst people. And these drugs are providing a level of, comfort that you haven't actually put yourself at risk. And you still do have the option of combining them with condoms, and a lot of people do combine them with condoms, which gives you an even greater protection.
Nevertheless, a study from the University of New South Wales last year did find that over the last decade, the rates of men having casual, unprotected sex has been increasing nationally, I think from 33% in 2006 to 41% in 2015. Is that, again, possibly because these preventative drugs are inadvertently leading to more unprotected sex?
So that's the Gay Periodic Survey, and what it actually says is condomless sex.
And again,
as unprotected casual sex.
And the point about condomless is that, again, there are the possibilities of increased rates of other sexually transmitted diseases, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia.
Yep, and we are seeing, particularly across Australia, we're seeing all-time high rates of some of those diseases, and also amongst heterosexual communities, particularly chlamydia and syphilis, are at all-time high rates across the country. So we need to encourage everybody to get tested regularly, even if you don't think you're at normal risk for those sorts of diseases. If you're having sex with more than one partner, you're probably putting yourself at risk of these diseases. So we'd encourage particularly heterosexual people to at least get tested once a year for these. And in Victoria recently, we had testing week, and I know New South Wales and Queensland do similar things where they encourage everyone to get tested. But for gay men particularly, you need to be testing, if you're sexually active, at least hopefully 4 times a year. You know, if you can get it more than two times a year, great. But if you're on PrEP, you particularly need four times a year because your likelihood of not using condoms is greater, and so you're putting yourself at higher risk of those diseases as well. What we would hope that is, as PrEP rolls out further and it gets onto the PBS and more people take it up, that brings overall testing rates much, much higher, which we then see what they're seeing overseas in places like San Francisco and London, where the rate of those diseases is dropping because of the much higher testing rates. So at the moment, we're in that awkward position where we've got part of the community on PrEP and a large part of the community not on PrEP. And so we've got part of the community testing a lot, but a large part not testing as much. And possibly that part of the community are also questioning their condom use, because we know that people on who are HIV positive but have undetectable viral load are no longer the risk that we once thought they were. And we know that other people are on PrEP. So across the entire community, there may be some, you know, thought about, do I need to wear a condom every time? But we would say if you're not on PrEP yourself, or you're not undetectable, then you still need to consider condoms as your primary source of protection. And condoms will never go away. They're always going to be much more available than PrEP. PrEP requires you going to a doctor four times a year. It requires you taking a pill every day. It requires you being tested for STIs. It requires you negotiating with someone.
So every there time is you quite, have a, sex, quite a strong sort it. Of regimen around.
Yeah. It's a program. It's not just taking a pill. Right. It's an actual program that you enter into. Condoms you can buy at 2 a.m. from the 7-Eleven. So condoms are much more flexible. They're much more easier to attain. You know, they will always have a place.
Yes, but never
in
will be
sex.
Preferable to taking a pill, I suspect.
Some people don't want to take a pill every day. Yeah. there's parts of the community who would prefer not to take a pill every day. They don't want to be on those drugs. But it is more protective than condoms. But condoms will always have a place.
Simon, can you see a time when your job of running an AIDS council will be redundant because HIV will have been eradicated in Australia?
Australia is at the forefront of eradicating HIV. We have been named as one of two or three countries which is right at the edge of getting rid of all avoidable HIV infections. We will never completely eradicate HIV. It will always be there. People who are HIV positive, thanks to campaigns like the Grim Reaper campaign, will always experience stigma and discrimination. So there will always be roles for organisations like mine. But you're right, if we see in Melbourne what they've seen in San Francisco with rates dropping so dramatically, you would start to wonder whether you need organisations like mine to be doing the work we're doing. We're always going to need to educate people and remind people that HIV is there and it's a risk. And particularly if you're travelling too, we haven't talked about that. A lot of HIV is contracted when people are travelling either to Asia or Africa or Europe or North America. We're about to have all the footy players go overseas to Thailand over the next month. They want to be thinking about safe sex and protecting themselves when they're over there. So there will always be roles. But
You'll always have a job. Yes. Simon Ruth, the Chief Executive of the Victorian AIDS Council. Good to talk to you, Simon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks.
I'm Amanda Smith, and this is Life Matters.